Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is taken from John 10, our gospel reading for today, with an emphasis on these words. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. Friends, I stand before you today utterly convinced that there is nothing in all of God's creation that will keep your mind sharper and more alert than having or interacting with a four-year-old. Moms, you especially know this to be true. With kids this age, you see, you can't just watch them. You know that you have to keep an eagle eye on them at all times, lest you incur serious damage to property, possessions, or person. When you're playing with them, there's no such thing as a bystander. You can't be a passive participant. You are all in. You don't know the rules to the game that they just made up 5 seconds ago? Well, believe me, you're going to learn those rules. And of course, when you talk to them, it's not enough that you just hear them. No, you really, really have to listen. For one thing, toddlers have this kind of curious patois which is totally indecipherable to anyone but their parents, their teachers, and a few very close confidants. And believe me, understanding this language really is just the bare minimum. You have to be able to follow them enough to read their train of thought from conversation to conversation, because believe me, they're going to remember and they're going to bring it up again. But then it gets even more interesting, because they use this developing language skill to communicate the most complex and philosophical questions which were ever devised for the express purpose of making you question not only your ability as a caregiver, but the nature of your very mortal existence. And we've all heard these questions, haven't we? Daddy, why does that man use bad words? Mommy, where does my doggy go when he dies? Grandpa, where do babies come from? We've all had these questions, and they can be terrifying. To have this tiny little person who is in almost total need and who looks to you not only for love and warmth as care as Matthew showed us, but also for the big answers to life's questions. But as all parents and, of course, all moms in this room know, after a while, you do learn to roll with it. You begin to get into that zone, and you know all of their likes and their dislikes. You can see their behaviors, both good and bad, coming from a mile away. You can carry on complete conversations about the merits of PJ Masks over the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. So enmeshed do you become in the well-being of your little person that you could pick them out of a crowd blindfolded. And this gets interesting because this isn't just me talking. There's actual science to back this up. I'll give you an example which happened to me just a few short months ago. I was working in my office and I was fairly absorbed in a reading when I hear in the background the noise of our preschool and childcare kids walking down the hall to recess as they do every day. And then, a short moment later, of course, I hear a dull thud of a body tripping over their friends and catapulting headlong into drywall once again as they do every day. But then, of course, came the heart-wrenching sound. The little sobs began crying out, "Ow, I hurt my knee, I want my mommy." But as I listened to the teachers trying to console the little voice crying out for comfort, it dawned on me, kind of like a flash of lightning, wait a minute, I know that little voice. That little voice belonged to me. Of course, it was none other than my own little boy who took the spill and who sat there inconsolable as his friends and teachers tried to pick him up and get out to recess. And so coming out in the hall, it was not Mommy this time, but Daddy who picked him up, who gave him a big hug and asked the magic words that parents the world over have come to know. Show me where it hurts. So, of course, he identified the spot on his knee. I gave him a big old kiss, and I asked him if it still hurt. And presto fixo, like magic, he was good to go. Now, we know that there is no special healing property that we suddenly gain when we become moms or dads. There's nothing about our person that is so special that we can make physical trauma subside, but for the child, it makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? It's the mere presence of their parent, of their mom or their dad, which provides the soothing comfort that they need. It's interesting to me that this exact same kind of familial dynamic, which we all know and which we all cherish, is precisely the way in which Jesus talks in our Good Shepherd passage from John chapter 10. He speaks like a parent speaks. In today's text, Jesus is approached by a group of Jewish officials who ask him directly, "If you are the Christ, then tell us directly. If it's you, then you owe us some kind of an explanation." It's worth noting that the reason that these people approach Jesus with this question is that, frankly, they honestly couldn't tell. You would think that of all peoples on earth, this group identified simply as the Jews would know what they were looking for. But the text tells us that they were expecting something altogether different from their Messiah. They did not see coming the humble carpenter from Nazareth who stood before them. Nevertheless, they felt that if this rough and tumble rabbi is indeed the Holy One of God, then they, of all people, ought to be the first to know. He was, after all, their guy, or so they thought. If he should be preaching, teaching, and performing miracles, then by all means it ought to be for me. But Jesus' answer is equally direct. He said, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me." In other words, see for yourselves. "But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep." Ouch. In other words, what more evidence could you foolish sons of Abraham need than what I have already given you? Here I have been before your very eyes doing the work of the Messiah, doing Messiah stuff, and you guys have completely overlooked it. And the reason for their overlooking? Because you do not belong to me. Sure, you all keep the laws and you observe the rituals, but your faith is not in the Christ. No, your faith is in your works. This is why my works, the works which are actually profitable for your salvation, are completely wasted on you. Your trust, your hope, your comfort is elsewhere. So we see here in John chapter 10 that these Jewish elites, these who's who among Jewish society, had an altogether wrong idea of what it meant to be a Jew. God, as it turns out, does not desire employees. God desires his sheep. He doesn't want the who's who from the sons of Abraham. He wants his own dear children. This must have been quite devastating for the little band of inquisitors who approached Jesus. But here in the church, we read this text and we are not devastated. We come to this text every fourth Sunday in Easter. We have a special name for it, Good Shepherd Sunday, because these words of our Savior, our Shepherd, are some of the most comforting words found in all of the Holy Scriptures. Jesus continues, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Think about that relationship that I described for you, how just like the parent knows so intimately the sound of their child's cry, so intimately do the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. So intimately does the shepherd know his sheep. We have been intimately known by our Savior. Jesus makes known to us, as he did to the prophet Isaiah in the 43rd chapter, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." The same Christ, the very same, the one who suffered and died for us on the cross, has called us into his fold. And now you, each of you, his sheep, hear his voice today. Today you hear the voice of the shepherd in his holy absolution as he forgives you once again all your sins. Today you hear him speak in that word which is proclaimed for you from the lectern and the pulpit. You hear his invitation to come and recline at his table, to be fed and nourished with his body and blood. And then, when he has given you all these gifts, you hear his voice once more, telling you, bidding you, depart in his peace. This is how we know the voice of the shepherd, that he gives the full benefit and blessing to his sheep. What's more, he brings you into his kingdom, not as livestock, not shepherded as we are here in this valley of sin and sorrow, but there on the last day as his own dear children, as heirs to his kingdom. Jesus says it was the will of the Father which placed us into this loving care. We confess in holy baptism that indeed it is the Holy Spirit who gives us faith in his name, faith to hear his voice and to come to him. The definitive statement at the end of all of this, "I and the Father are one," assures us that if we are of the flock of the Good Shepherd, then we, by extension, must be children of the Father. He who has made us has given his only begotten Son to redeem us. And now, because of the merit of his Son, because of the virtue of his sacrifice, he calls us into his fold to dwell securely with him. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you have heard the voice of your shepherd. You have heard him as he calls out to you by name. Hark the joyous sound and give answer to no other. For we know that there are many other voices out in the world which bid us come away from the Christ. These, as Jesus said, are either the hired hands who give no care about you, or they are the voice of the thief and robber who seek to take away your salvation. The ones who leave you, who flee and leave you to fend for yourself at the first signs of trouble. Their promises, they may be tempting, but we know that they are ultimately empty. Hear instead the voice of the one who laid down his life for you. Hear instead the voice of the one who defends you from your enemies. Hear instead the voice of the one who preserves you body and soul by his mercy and by his love. Just as the child is soothed by the voice of his mother or father, so let your shepherd's voice soothe you and lead you into green pastures and still waters. Comfort to you. Comfort who rest here in his presence. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.